Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right.
You just tried to do the Kawhi laugh, didn't you?
Yeah. I have a little bored off issue. I thought I teed that one up good. We're still in the early phase of this, but working through that. No, they definitely need him because these are – I mean, both of these teams starting fives in different ways remind me of the Warriors, where they have a lot of multi-skilled players. Like, it's not the Rockets where it's two guys dribbling and three guys standing in the corner. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, like, Kyle Lowry can pass, dribble, or shoot. Kawhi Leonard can pass, dribble, or shoot. Marc Gasol can play make, has some offensive game.
Sam, you believe in Pat Connaughton, Sam?
There we go. I just think
Pat Connaughton's like the eighth man. I'm just talking about their if you look at the Bucks, let's go to the Bucks. Obviously Giannis, he's going to win the MVP. He should win the MVP. Eric Bledsoe, probably the best point guard at guarding Steph. Like, he's the only point guard who can guard him. Everyone else puts their small forward on him. Brogdon, a guy who can do a little bit of everything. Middleton, an all-star who can do a little bit of everything. Like, they got a lot of – they're built similarly to the Warriors is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think either team has enough star power. You know, I think when you're talking about role players, it's always tough to say, hey, these guys are going to do what they've been doing all season during the NBA Finals.
That's true, but, I mean, they play more as a team than the Warriors have this year. There's no way around that with the Bucks. They got that kind of Warriors Spursy type thing going where everyone knows their role. They always stick to the game plan. The ball moves really well. Giannis, the type of guy who, if you send two to three bodies to him, he'll make the right play.
Yeah.
He's not going to try to, take a step back jumper 40 times in a row when it's not there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true.
They're interesting. I think they're and they're long defense. Both these teams defensively can probably give the Warriors issues if KD's not in there.
Yeah, I think you might be right. It depends on Iguodala too, because he's hurt. Doesn't look like he's playing game four. We've had a couple people call in and then they dropped off. It's probably my fault. I should probably go to the phones a little bit more. Yeah. But call in 888-957-9570. Text in to Chill and Autobody. Text line 95795. Let's go to Vic in Cupertino here. Vic, how's it going?
Pretty good. About you guys?
Good, man. What are we talking about? KD free agency? Is that what's on the mind here? Up 3-0?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like I know that it's a big story, and he's been a big part of what they've done the last couple of years. But it's just kind of if I'm one of those guys that's actually on the court during this four game winning streak, I'm feeling kind of annoyed hearing like this is the headline for every Warriors related story. Like, and I understand it, but it's kind of like I'm ready for him to move on. Like, this team doesn't look like they're missing much of a beat, and I know that's easy to say when the Warriors aren't facing LeBron James in the finals, and we'll see what happens when they need that ISO. Can somebody get a bucket because nobody else can get their way to the rim? But we don't know what's going to happen. But I'm just saying, like, right now, they're not missing KD, and I'm looking forward to this not being a story moving on after the season's over because he's gone.
Ooh.
So that's all I got to say.
Thank you, Vic. Ooh. I mean, I do think we're all ready for a decision, but I will say Portland's not the Milwaukee Bucks. They're not the Toronto Raptors. They don't need KD to beat Portland, but they do need him to win a title. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and an HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Well done. Well, that was like smooth segue. You know, it's our first 3-hour show, by the way. Warriors World Radio, Andy
Well,
Lou.
3 hours for me, 2 hours and 40 minutes for you.
Yeah, Sam. Sam's salt, not happy about that. Very salty about me showing up a little late. Sam Esfandiari is what you just heard. Andy Lou. Yeah, our first 3-hour show for Warriors World Radio. The people love us. You know, I'm looking at the text line. You know, some people don't love us. That's okay. Just keep texting us. You know, it's fine with me.
If you say negative things, we'll delete the text. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll block it out. Won't read it. It all works out. Here's what I think, Sam. I've been workshopping. You know, we've got a couple of minutes till break here. So let's help me think about this, because I agree that the Warriors, they need Kevin Durant. They are not a better team without Kevin Durant. As much as, you know, people might want to think that, as much as, you know, national media want to say that. I do think, however, that they are a better crunch time offense without Kevin Durant. And mainly because they have an identity. They know what they want to do. Pick and roll. Right? And then it goes 4-on-3, 4-on-2, and then they get the opposite side wing 3, and they run that every single time and it gets movement. With Kevin Durant, it's pick and roll, and then Kevin Durant isos.
Yeah, the only thing I'm going to say, they don't need anything more than the Steph Draymond pick and roll when it's Dame Lillard and Enes Kanter guarding it. When it's CJ McCollum and Mo Harkless guarding it. We get into the better teams. When Giannis on the other side of that pick and roll, when Kawhi's in there, you'd like to have another option.
Yeah.
I do think you're hitting at a broader point, which is without KD, they know exactly how they want to play. With KD, it's almost like they have too many options and they can't make a decision.
Yeah.
You know, do they want to play up tempo? Do they want to play pick and roll through Steph and Draymond? Do they want to play pick and roll through KD? Do they want to run floppy? Do they want to run, you know, the split cuts? Like, they have just so many options that sometimes it feels like they never get into a flow that way.
Yeah, there's no rhythm there. Yeah, they kind of just do. And then Kevin Durant is usually the one that's saying, well, if you're going to be passive, give me the rock.
Exactly.
And not really his fault, because it's like, well, he can just drop 35. And then when he's feeling it, you just want to keep giving it to him.
And then it goes the other way, where it's kind of like he'll come out with that mindset and then the other guys will not get into it. And it's a little trickier. It's having so many options. Like, it's a good problem to have, but it is kind of why you see it differently. I'd point to when they've had KD and no Steph, it doesn't look the same, but they at least know what they want to do. Like, they're just running that KD pick and roll off the top 40 to 50 times. It's kind of that situation where kind of when they have a little less, it's a little easier for them to decide what they want to do.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thanks for helping me out. That just reiterating. That's what Sam here is to do. Hey, let's clean these phones, because we got Ethan Strauss over at The Athletic coming through here after the break in a couple minutes. Let's see if we can go through. Let's go Jordan first. More KD. Jordan, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing, boss?
Good, man. How are you? KD's leaving. Is that what you're thinking about? With the sweep on the way? It's disappointing.
Yeah, KD needs to leave.
Whoa.
That's what I'm saying. KD needs to leave. I want him to leave. Bye.
Woo.
Go away.
Woo. Why do you feel that way? Are you a KD stan, or are you just saying that because you don't want him to be on the team?
I love what KD did to the team.
Yeah.
I love how he worked and he fit in. But it took him over 50 games to actually gel into the Warriors' offense. And when you look at DeMarcus Cousins and the way he came in, it took him 2 weeks, and he bought in. He bought in all the way.
Yeah.
All the chips on the table, he was good to go. Solid.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's the difference between one all-star who is 35 in Sacramento and one person who is averaging 35 in OKC? It's like they're two different players. And
yeah.
One's a big man and one's a four, you know? So I'd much rather have a big man who can fit in super quick, you know, and we can pay a lot less.
Well, Jordan, I appreciate the call. The tough part is that, well, number one, KD is a lot better than Cousins. He's probably 2 or 3 levels above Cousins. The second thing The second thing is you can't just give the money that you would give to Kevin Durant to DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah,
not how the salary cap
works. We're not going to go into the cap thing, but basically the Warriors are over the cap. So if KD leaves, they don't open up cap space. They just save Joe Lacob luxury tax dollars.
Yeah. Which Lacob would be, you know, I'm sure he's fine too, but he does want to spend the money. So, well, we got a national bias against Steph call. This will be interesting. Swaggy B,
Andy,
too.
Are you calling from the other room?
Oh, boy. Swaggy B, how are you doing?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. Tell us, what is the national bias against Steph? I'm all in on this.
So I don't get it. Steph is one of the rarest talents we've ever seen in the league. I'm a parent, so he's a great role model, and he's a joy to watch. and I don't get it either. He just doesn't get the national respect. They seem to want to paint him into a box. Just want you to react to what your guys' view of is.
What do you want them to do, Swaggy B? What would you like to hear them say about Steph? Like, would you like more coverage, or what is it specifically?
No, he's never respected, right? He's never respected as one of the greatest players the game has ever seen. He's just kind of like, a shooter or someone who sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, Swaggy B, thanks for the call. I would tend to agree with that a little bit, and I think part of it is Steph's fault. I don't think Steph cares about that kind of thing. Like, he's not going out of his way and saying, I need to be recognized as the best player in the game. I don't know, Sam. Like, I've never heard Steph say that. So it's like one of those things where, KD definitely wants to be recognized as the best player in the game, so he'll get people to say it. With Steph, it's the other way around.
Yeah, and it's the 24/7. We need to fill something with controversy. Where are the free agents going to go? I didn't really mind it in January and February. I kind of even got into it, right? It is kind of fun, but it's really tiresome during the playoffs when we're finally getting what the whole purpose of this thing is about, which is high-level basketball in pursuit of a championship. Like, I don't want to hear this stuff in mid-May and late May we're going for the finals. Like, I don't, am I interested where Kawhi's going? Sure, but that's not where my focus is. Right now my focus is, can Toronto pull off this series? What is he going to do? What are they going to do, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. And for Steph, someone who this is a point that I like making, because it's true for someone like him, is he wants to win the championship. It doesn't matter how he wins the championship. I think for some other players, most of their stars, like, I don't know, LeBron James, yeah, he would love to win a championship, but he'd like to win a championship on his own terms. LeBron James would like to win a championship his way. Steph Curry would like to win a championship anyway. Anyway, somehow, doesn't matter. He can, go 3-for-20 every game and win a championship. He's fine with that. I mean, he's not going to be happy about it, but if he gets a ring,
he's willing to set back screens for a title. I mean, he was willing to do that all through the first two rounds.
Yeah, and he doesn't crave that. So we're not going to go to the phone lines. We got Stanley, we got Patty, we got Chaz D. I think we're going to go to them before we get Ethan Strauss, but Ethan Strauss will be coming on here after the break. Warriors World Radio with Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Now back to Warriors World Radio on 95.7 The Game. Here's Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Yeah.
Andy, is this enough EDM for you? Does this count?
We're turning the studio into a rave. I got the lights in here. I got the laser, Sam. I'm going to bring in lasers next week. Give you some energy. Sam? Just really get you pumped. Or is it just
whatever you need to go to get yourself going. Sam Esfandiari here. Andy Liu. We have a special guest from The Athletic, the man who is dead set on ruining the dynasty.
Yes.
Ethan Strauss. Ethan, were you the person who convinced Steve Kerr to start Damian Jones yesterday?
Why would I convince him of that idea? That's a crazy... I mean, maybe if I needed another angle to write about... By the way, guys, hello from a mall in Portland, Oregon. I am inside a mall, which explains the background.
Are you at the Nike store? Are you getting 50% off?
I've decided that when you hit your 30s, I don't know who your sponsors are, but I've decided Adidas is for your 30s.
Wow.
I used to hit the store as a young beat writer.
Wow.
I was excited. I would come out, bundles full of shoes. Not anymore. Too flashy. Just give me some minimalist shoes with three stripes on them. I'm good to go.
Well, this is typical Ethan Strauss. Ethan Strauss from The Athletic. Adidas fan. This is why KD doesn't like you, Ethan. Grow up. Nike.
I'm telling you, I grew up. I had I have a wife and a kid. I wear Adidas. What could be more grown up than wearing Adidas? Wearing New Balances? I'm not there yet. I'm not ready.
That's a 40s kind of thing. A 40s kind of vibe. So you're in Portland. You're covering the games. Sam's probably going to ask about some Durant later. I'm curious about this, Ethan. What was going on with Dame and CJ McCollum last night? Because for a backcourt, that's supposed to be, I'm sure they think they're just as good as Steph and Clay. Boy, they look like they are getting handled right now by the best backcourt, perhaps in the history of the NBA. And for somebody like them coming out and saying they're tired and they're seeing too many double teams, is that not kind of soft?
I just can't believe that the Oregonian came out and called them the Trash Brothers. that was shocking to me. I felt like that was a stolen Radio Ethan take. I wonder if the seven-game series has worn on them. I think the Warriors also have the personnel that can make their lives difficult. And I do believe that the separated ribs have an impact on Lillard. Mm. He doesn't look right, especially at the rim. So all of that wears. And, you know, I think there's a huge burden. The Warriors have done a pretty good job of distributing that burden. Sometimes I don't always approve of how Steve Kerr goes about it. Starting Damian Jones is a good example of that. But overall, he gets the big things right. And I think he has done enough to lighten the load, even in Durant's absence, that allows the Warriors to have more energy in the series.
What? Oh, go ahead, Sam. Oh, no. What did you hear about Andre Iguodala? Because he has flipped the camera off, first off. So he wasn't happy with someone, or he was trolling, probably both. But I mean, what did he look like coming out the locker room? Because it sounds like he's day-to-day, but, you know, is this going to linger?
He looked fine. He was in good spirits. He was joking around. He hung out at the Moda Center in that little area where everybody and everybody's entourage hangs out. He was there for probably about an hour. He didn't exactly get carried out on a stretcher, I guess is what I'm saying. And they had the MRI today. They said it was negative. They might be cautious with him and rest him. That is a possibility. But look, I think Warriors fans can feel good because there's a little bit of fear when you're told that Andre Iguodala is about to have an MRI.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to come up. And the results came back negative. So in that way, I believe it's positive news.
So let's get to the KD topic.
What topic?
It's hard to not notice the stylistic difference when he's not on the floor. I believe you wrote about it last week. So I just want you to kind of get into why you think it is they play so much faster, they play like a different team without him than with him.
Well, I think it's a confluence of factors. One is that he prefers to play slow. He prefers to walk the ball up. Hey, you remember that pivotal November 12th play that started the argument and all of this between KD and Draymond. It was because Draymond wanted to push and KD wanted the rock so he could pace himself going up the floor. And you could see why both guys wanted what they wanted. So they, I think, are a little more inclined to push in this particular matchup. Draymond loves it. He's going at it zealously. He's making me want to join SoulCycle and lose 20 pounds of my own. You know, he looks great. And so I think that there's that. I think it's also they know they need more of a collective effort. And here's a part of it that doesn't have anything to do with KD as far as blame is concerned. And it's this. There are actual expectations that one could actually overcome, as opposed to when Kevin Durant is on the team. There's almost no winning. You can win literally. You can make Warriors fans happy. But you can't beat expectations. They were an underdog against the Blazers. 2.5. They would not have been an underdog if Kevin Durant was on the team, was playing in that game. So they can actually go into a situation where people are doubting them, questioning them, saying the Rockets are going to win, saying the Blazers are going to give them trouble. And they can overcome all that. And I think they're highly motivated to do so. And so that explains a lot of the difference in style and the way they're playing.
Well, there's this too, which I find very curious because, like, they are on message. I think Sam Amick of The Athletic was writing about it too. Like, they're on message. You know, Steve Kerr and Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, Draymond are all coming out to public and saying, hey, KD is the best player in the world, repeatedly in those same words. Now, I'm curious why they're doing that. You know, I guess the obvious.
You're not curious why they're doing that. You know why they're doing that.
Tell me, Ethan. Tell me, please.
Don't play naive. Some people need a little bit of placation. Some people need a little bit of ego supplementation.
Huh.
We all know what the deal is. This isn't exactly natural and everybody starts using the same phrase like they're a political operative on cable news. Come on now. You know what it is.
So, but that's interesting because does KD, I mean, the feeling is always KD needs that, right? And so your take, is he actually being affected right now off the court by that? Is there a way that KD's actually not as happy as the rest of the Warriors that they're winning it up 3-0 against Portland is what I'm going to ask.
Wow, you're trying to just get me to say things that you believe, Andy. It's very curious.
This is what I do.
Just come out and let it fly of how if that's how you feel.
Sam's shaking his head.
Here's what I will say. I am out here in Portland, Oregon, around the team. Kevin Durant is getting his treatment and trying to get back in the form, back in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
So I, sure, you know, as somebody who already has been accused of, I don't know, just going to the locker room, walking around, just, I don't know, not talking.
Come on!
I'm not sure I can just hypothesize in the way you want me to.
That's fair.
Let's fast forward this. I don't think the Warriors are going to lose a 3-0 lead, but then again, if there was one team to one-up losing a 3-1 lead, it would be them. So assuming they get to the finals, Toronto's up on Milwaukee right now. I still think Milwaukee will win the series. Do you think they need KD for both of these matchups?
Not both. Milwaukee, though, yeah.
Why is that? What's the difference? You don't think they need him for Toronto? Because I think Toronto is, I mean, Milwaukee's a better team, but they Toronto's got a lot, too.
Yeah, Toronto's good. I mean, they might need him for Toronto. I just think it's more likely they need him for Milwaukee's ranginess and their size. To just have another body to throw at Giannis would be very important. You know, I think Draymond, it could be a great series for him against the Bucks, but you want somebody who's a little bit bigger, and I think it's a very difficult matchup for KD if he comes back. I think he should be commended and respected if he comes back not 100% and plays in that series, because that is a hard series. Middleton does a really good job, and they're going to throw Giannis at him in some high-pressure moments. Coming off a calf injury, I think that's a lot to deal with in the NBA Finals. And if you recall, he wasn't scoring in buckets in the two games of the season. I think it's a lot for him, so it could be difficult. So I think they could really use him. They probably need him, and it's going to be a struggle for him all at the same time if he does come back, most likely.
Ethan, back on the KD bandwagon. He is aligned with the message as the rest of the Warriors staff and players.
I'm just honest.
Love that.
There's no bandwagon. It doesn't go one way or the other way. Everybody else tries to create interpretations of why things are being said.
Ethan, this is what I do. Okay, Sam.
It's what everybody does. When people don't like the message, they come up with a reason for why it's being said.
They hate the messenger. That's how
it always
works.
Fake news, Ethan.
That's how it works.
But it's good. But it's a good life. I'm not complaining. Here, but yet I still keep living. It's all good.
Ethan Strauss from The Athletic here. I'm curious about this. I'm not that curious, but you got me curious about it. You're
so
a TV ratings.
Are you curious or are you not curious?
I was not curious. And then Ethan started tweeting about it. And then I start thinking about it. And now I'm very curious. TV ratings. TV ratings went up, Ethan, when KD got hurt. And I believe they're down for every team besides the Warriors right now. What do you attribute that to?
It's fascinating. Look, I think we can come up with our different theories about why it is going this direction, but this has to be unprecedented in the history of the NBA. If you're a ratings nerd out there, maybe you can tell me different. But generally, when a superstar gets hurt, that team's ratings go way down. You know, when Michael Jordan doesn't play that season with Scottie Pippen, we say, hey, good job, Scottie Pippen. You got the Bulls to a 50 wins. That's great. The ratings are still way worse. This is a strange situation where KD goes down and the ratings for the Warriors have been historic for ESPN in a lot of these Western Conference Finals games and the Western Conference Semifinals games. And I think that people might just enjoy watching the little guy jack threes. That might be it. They just prefer that. And if he's getting the ball more, they're more into that narrative. They're more into the, can they do it? Can they get the old magic back? They're more into that, apparently. The casual fan is more drawn to it than the dominance of the team before. So that's just a measure of popularity. I don't think many Warriors fans care how much of the country is tuning in or is curious about what their team is doing. But it is fascinating. It has to be unprecedented.
So you're saying people like Steph more than they like KD. That is fascinating, Ethan.
Aggregate it.
Produce it. Thanks, guys. From the back.
One last thing before I let you go. How did Jordan Bell get back into the rotation here? The guy can't get minutes in the regular season, and then it is the biggest game of the season against the Houston Rockets in Houston, Game 6. Jordan Bell is just right back in the rotation, and going forward.
Look at that. You can hear the judgment and annoyance with Kerr in his voice, people. Could you hear that? Could you hear that disappointed dad in Sam's voice? He's really saying it's arbitrary. That's what he's saying when he says it. It is arbitrary. It's Steve throws a dart at a board.
Does he not?
I think that there was a sense of the Rocket series athletically. He fit into that series, and then he did well enough. So, hey, see what he does against the Blazers. And he's done well with the opportunities. It was interesting that last night he had that missed dunk, and he was not benched for missing the dunk. You had Draymond saying the encouraging words. I reported a story on The Athletic. Subscribe today, everybody. Be very appreciative of that. About how Mike Brown, who had that crazy, strange candle incident where Jordan Bell got punished, actually came up to Jordan Bell, made a joke that reminded Jordan Bell of when he was playing high school basketball against Mike Brown's son, and broke up the tension and allowed him to get his mind right and focus. And he played great. So, to your question, I'm not exactly sure why his minutes have been yo-yoed the way that they've been yo-yoed, but he's certainly coming up big in the biggest moments.
Yeah, I'm a big Jordan Bell guy. I just live with the mistakes. He's got so much upside. I just want to see Looney and Bell just trade off minutes the rest of the postseason at the center position. They've been fantastic. By the way, Ethan, Thrones fan or no?
I'm a Thrones fan.
All right, so before we get you out, Sam, I'm sorry. Sam's not a Thrones guy, but I need your predictions on what's going to happen tonight. Is that all right? Yeah, that's good. Thumbs up. You got any thoughts on what's going to happen series finale here in the next couple hours?
I have no thoughts on that. I don't know what these guys are doing. They're just flying by the seat of their pants. They're clearly not as smart as George R.R. Martin. They don't have the imagination, and they don't have the capital. They don't feel emboldened enough to try something weird in the way R.R. Martin would. So, yeah, you've got the Mad Queen plot twist. You have your theories on, you know, is Bran going to take the throne? I wish I could give you a satisfying answer. I don't know what they're going to do, and at a certain point, I have to say, I care less and less.
Well, there's only one episode left, so maybe they'll come out with some, you know, with a sequel in a couple years. But Ethan Strauss, The Athletic, probably the best basketball writer that is out there today. So
No.
Thank you, sir, for coming
easily
on.
Easily top five covering the
Thanks
Warriors.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ethan.
Sam, the text line is, wow, they do not like Ethan, a.k.a. one person doesn't like him, so I attribute that to everyone.
Yeah, it's like when you get one person in your mention saying you suck, you're like, wow, there's this whole army, anti.
Whole army. Call in 888-957-9570. Oh, we're going to get to Stanley and T here. Thank you for waiting in the next couple minutes. I find it interesting, though, that Ethan said, he kind of hinted that Steve Kerr kind of just does whatever you want to do, especially with, you know, Jordan Bell, Damian Jones. And at a certain point here in the next round, you know, you don't want that to come biting you, you know, when it really matters. But, you know,
it really speaks to what they think of the Portland Trailblazers, kind of treating them like a first round matchup. I don't know how else you could say it. You know, he wouldn't throw this stuff out there if he was worried about the opponent a little more, or maybe you would. I mean, he did in some playoff series.
Whoa, don't bring it back. By the way, from the 510, this is the worst 95.7 broadcast ever. We gotta do better, Sam. We gotta do better.
Haters.
Come on. Beer silence. Only the soundboard coming through. All right, well, let's get to the phone lines here. Which one's first? Should we start with Stanley from New Jersey? Stanley, thanks for waiting. Appreciate you. Talking finals.
Yeah, what's going on, Andy and Sam? I just feel like the Warriors could actually beat either the Bucks or the Raptors without KD. Because I feel like Raptors and Bucks, their bigs are liable. They're slow. They could be ran off the court with Steph and Draymond pick and roll. And I just feel like Milwaukee, their half-court offense is not good. And they jack up too many threes, and Kawhi's a one-man team, and you could just trap him and get the ball off his hand. So I think regardless if KD plays or not, I don't see the series going past six games. All right, peace.
Thank you. I would disagree. I think the Bucks will be very difficult without KD. The Bucks, I mean, you can make your Pat Covington jokes, Andy, but, like, he's, what, their ninth man? I mean, they got a solid eight starting caliber players they're playing right now. That's a lot to deal with when the Warriors don't have a lot of depth. I know we got the strength and numbers going, but Chris Middleton versus Alphonso McKinney.
Okay.
Not the greatest matchup.
Okay, that matchup will not happen that often. You know what I am curious about? I thought he made a great point about this. Stanley did. Miritich and Brook Lopez. Great shooters. Definitely playing pretty well against Toronto so far in this season. Don't think they're staying on the floor against the Warriors.
Yeah, but you got to consider this. If KD is not in there, they're just going to put Giannis on Draymond. And driving off that pick and roll with Steph against Giannis, little different than driving against Enes Kanter.
Sure, sure. But and then Giannis has that KD 2016 vibe, right, where KD kind of ate Draymond alive there in that Western Conference final series.
I mean, he's one of the finalists for Defensive Player of the Year, and of the three finalists, he would be my Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, and the MVP. Wow.
Didn't even think of that. Yeah. Would be the first to do that since Jordan. I don't think he's going to get both.
But I think it is hard because those are the type of players Miritich, and the Warriors have seen Miritich before, played on the Pelicans last postseason and didn't play well. And I don't think you can keep Brook Lopez and Miritich on the floor as much as they have so far in the postseason. And when you take guys like that out and maybe they downsize a little bit, that's exactly what the Warriors want you to do.
Why can't Miritich just hang out on Looney?
Well, I just don't think he's going to play enough defense there because it's not like he's guarding him one-on-one, right? It's going to be that pick and roll that's going to be moving him around. And if you're playing him and you're playing Brook, they can't move. They can't move. They can't guard guys that are going left and right. And again, this is with Andre Iguodala healthy, right? And so I do think Cousins might come back. Do we have a Twitter question before we get?
Yeah, I want to get to this one. Let me pull it up real quick here.
Yeah, pull that up because somebody asked about.
I got it.
Okay.
What if the team just gets Boogie back, but not KD? Will they have enough to beat the Raptors or the Bucks?
I think so. I think so because I do think Boogie, when he was. The issue with Boogie and KD playing at the same time is you literally said this about 20 minutes ago. They have no idea what they want to do because there are about 55,000 different options, right? With just Boogie, now they have someone that can anchor that second unit with Clay. Now it's not, you know, Clay running around in circles and praying that he can get a pull-up jumper somewhere, right? Now you have Boogie posting up as well. That's an option.
Yeah. On the flip side, Boogie's a tough matchup defensively against Milwaukee with the way they spread it out. Where are you gonna put him? Yeah. Okay. I guess you're just gonna ask him to guard Brook Lopez standing 30 feet from the rim, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's all you can do. Let's get to before we go to break. Let's get to T because I think they've been waiting as well in the South Bay. More Bucks. T, how's it going?
What's up? What's up, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. So my question is basically. Projecting towards the finals and assuming we play the Bucks, what's the lesser of two evils here? Letting Giannis get his and shutting down the supporting cast, or shutting down Giannis and seeing if the supporting cast can beat you? Thanks.
That's a great question. The Warriors, based on how they've played the last 5 years, they're going to play everyone straight up. They would rather Giannis go for 50 than have four guys getting open jumpers because they double him. That's what I think.
Make the role players beat you, right?
So how do you do that? You do that by leaving Giannis in single coverage and living with the fact that he's going to score 35 or 40.
Yeah.
They're going to get 100 points. Like, it's a basketball game. There's no, you know, you don't pitch a shutout.
And my thing is this. During the NBA Finals, we've seen, you've gone to finals games, you've seen the Warriors get shook in the finals. I've seen LeBron James get nervous in the finals. And these are like, the Warriors are the best team. You know, it could be the best team of all time. LeBron James, top three, top five NBA player of all time. Though, if they get nervous, can you imagine what Nikola Mirotic is going to look like? I don't care how good you shot in the regular season.
Ilyasova has ice in his veins.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot about Ersan, right? Malcolm Brogdon. A lot of these guys they're role players at their peak. And I'd be very concerned about a team of role players having to play consistent in the NBA Finals.
I wanted to ask Ethan about it because he's written about it in the past, but in the finals, they change all the schedules regarding pregame, media, And so it's kind of like the way, you know, we all know how the Super Bowl is, where it's not like a normal week. It's always a disadvantage for teams who haven't been there before. And that's going to be either Toronto or Milwaukee. It's definitely not going to be the Warriors who've been there 5 years in a row.
5 years in a row. And here's the other thing, too. Like, we kind of expect Giannis to, like, average 30 points, 35 points in the finals because he's been that good. What if he doesn't? He's, like, 24. Right? He's young, 25. It's his first time past the second round in his career. What if he doesn't show up?
Fraud.
Fraud.
I mean, but you bring up a good point. I mean, run through most great players, their first trip to the finals is a little different, not quite as good. You know, it's just part of the growing process. Steph's first final was shaky for three games. LeBron's first final in 2007, I mean, they got swept by the Spurs. I don't know, Shaq's first final with Orlando, they got swept. He played decent for his standards, yeah, but wasn't great. I mean, I think Jordan's the only player I can think of who just kind of dominated his first finals, and he was 27.
Yeah, yeah. Back on the other side, why Giannis is a glorified Chris Middleton. we do have to go to break. But Warriors World Radio, Andy Liu, Sam Esfandiari, we'll go back to your calls here on the other side.
Warriors World Radio continues on 95.7 The Game. Here's Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Warriors World Radio, Sam Esfandiari. Andy, we got a game here. Toronto-Milwaukee.
Turns out George Hill is pretty good at basketball.
It's amazing what a man can do when he doesn't have to stay in the corner.
Rodney Hood is having a pretty good series too, right? He did pretty good against the Nuggets. Now he's
the
playing
no
pretty
help
well.
Renaissance.
Whew.
Not five, not six, not seven.
For a guy that whines about, you know, not having enough good players around him, these players sure play pretty well when they're not around him. Pretty interesting.
Ah, that's pretty interesting.
What is this text that's coming at 925, by the way? Remind them that people like my son listen to the program. So, yeah, we got to be good role models here, Sam, I think. No swearing, you know, no crazy takes, no flopping on the air, right?
You saw that, right? Do we have the audio of Draymond talking about his son? Anyway, Draymond was mentioning that his son was playing on a little hoop, and he'd shoot the ball, and then he'd fall down because he thought that's what you're supposed to do. And that's when Draymond realized the flopping was getting a little out of control.
If I were a dad and my son were practicing the hardened head tilt, you know, you're like,
yeah,
breaking your neck, sprinting your neck, doing that, it's like just hoop. And that's the good part of these two finals, conference finals, has been that both teams are playing basketball. There's no shenanigans. Right, they're not begging to get texts or ejections or fouls. They're playing basketball, and we're watching this Toronto Milwaukee game, and they're just going back and forth. The pace is great. Both teams are shooting well. Right, good defense. Nobody's flopping. It's like how basketball should be played.
Honest basketball.
Honest basketball.
If you want to call in 888-957-9570 or text into the Chilton Autovody text line 95795.
All right, let's go to the phones. We've been disregarding him too much. I have. It's my fault. We'll go to line one, Chazzy D from Concord. Chazzy D, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. You know, I always call in. I listen to Steinmetz and those guys during the day and some other shows. But I was just sitting here, and I hear you guys talking, and I figured I'd call in.
Love that. Love that.
Anyway, I had season ticket holders. I moved to California in 1986. And I bought season ticket to the Warriors in 1988. And I've been at Montego Cummings, Clifford Rozier, the Big Smoothie. And before that, Mookie Blaylock. And it just going on, and we lose. You know, at the end of the season, I have sometimes 10 tickets left over. And I was calling my friend, hey, you want to go to a game? And they're like, oh, nah, those losing Warriors. go to that game. But come on, man. And I sometimes, my, even my wife don't want to go. And then I eat the tickets almost for seasons after seasons after seasons.
Right.
Now, in 2005, I just couldn't take it anymore. And my wife said, come on, knock it off with running up our credit cards on the Warriors.
That's true.
So I just kind of like, all right, uncle, I give in.
Well, you said you want to talk about KD, but what is it about KD here that you want to get out there?
So the point about KD is like this. We built together this team.
Yeah.
And we know we're good as the constructed Warriors that's starting to win, this new generation of Warriors. And guess what? To make us even better, we add KD. And then because KD is, we're trying to find what fans have to realize, enjoy this winning and knowing that it's a luxury to have KD, so we can go this way and that way. We can run up or down. If we only had one way, that's why they beat us.
That's true.
Thank you,
that's
Chaz true. D.
Well, there you go. Fans got to enjoy KD more. I agree. By the way, KD had he wrote something on Instagram, Sam, yesterday about
– Was that real?
I think it was real. There was one other person who was faking it, but he did have a real comment where it's – I think it was – he was basically saying – somebody was saying, hey, people doubted us, you know, without KD, and then KD responds and says, why don't we just all enjoy the game? Why don't we all just enjoy the win together as Warriors fans, which, you know, I tend to agree with.
I do too. I mean, this whole playoff run's been amazing basketball. There's been some highs and lows. At this point, that Clippers series feels so long ago.
I don't even remember what happened in that Clippers series anymore. It was like it's like the Warriors have played two seasons within the postseason.
It's been like the reverse playoffs. It's like gotten easier as they've gone on.
It is crazy how the Warriors beat the Clippers in six and the Rockets in six, though you could never tell that both actually went to six.
Yeah. So let's talk a little about Steph here, though. I wanna run back the numbers of all these guys since KD's gone down. So they've played four games without KD. Steph's averaging 35.5, 6-6. Klay's averaging 24 points, shooting 43% from three. Draymond's averaging 14, 11, 8 assists, leading the entire playoffs in assists overall.
When he has to show up, he does. Like, when he has to be in rhythm, when he has to carry the team, he can still do it. And I think a lot of the complaints and a lot of the criticism of Steph is that he can't do it. And that he's dragging, you know, KD down or this or that. I think it's Steph just doesn't need to do it. He doesn't need to be the best player in the world. He doesn't need to be the best point guard in the league. And when he has to do it, you can see the difference between Steph and Dame. I would say Dame's probably the second best point guard, or Chris Paul's the second best point guard. If this was Russell Westbrook in the Western Conference Finals, Steph would be handing it to him too. You know, no difference. You can see the difference between like how great Steph is compared to really any other guard in the league and really a lot of the players in the league.
I mean, let's go to Rachel Nichols' audio on Dame.
Most of what his frustration is about all those traps, all those double teams, sometimes triple teams. He's double teamed and then Draymond's looking in the back waiting for him. And he looked at me at one point and he goes, there's 20 seconds left in the game. They're up. They're winning. I get the ball and there's still two guys on me. He's like, come on. Well, that's what the Warriors do.
You know what I thought of when I heard of this? The first thing I thought of was, when's the last time Steph hasn't been trapped off the pick and roll?
Yeah.
2013?
Yeah.
It might have been that first playoff run against the Spurs. He drops 42 in the first game. And they're like, yeah, we're not doing this again, trapping him. And he's just been trapped ever since then against any competent defense.
Yep.
And that's kind of, since then, he's won two MVPs. He's pretty much he is the best point guard in the NBA. And it kind of just shows the levels of difference between him and Dame and yep. Kyrie and Russ and Chris Paul. None of those guys deal with the attention he does.
People think that because, you know, Steph, people think that because Dame is a good shooter or Kyrie's a good shooter or Chris Paul's a good shooter that they demand the same type of attention that Steph Curry does. Absolutely not the case. Not the case. And now that Dame is a good shooter and he's like, you know, close to Steph, now he's seeing that coverage, right? that, like you just said, Steph has been seeing since the Denver Nuggets, right? Since the San Antonio Spurs, since Memphis. He's been seeing it for half a decade, and he's been playing well against it. He knows what to do, and that's where the off-ball comes in as well, right? Because he moves off-ball unlike any other player in actually the entire NBA.
He'll pass out of out of the trap, cut, find himself open, find a little space. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. It's more than just the jump shot.
Just shooting, yeah. It's more than just, hey, who can shoot a better set shot?
Like, I'm sure if you put them all in an empty gym, they can all outshoot each other in any given match.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not basketball.
Like, Clay's probably, you know, maybe even better set shooter than Steph. I can see that happening. But it's like when you talk about off the dribble, when you talk about shooting off a screen, relocation threes, it's not close. And then you've got three guys coming at Steph. When do you ever see that? Like, people at this point, gravity is pretty well known, but when do you ever see that? You know, like Kevon Looney's getting wide open. Sam, me or you could probably get a wide open layup or something. I mean,
I think the defense would be able to rotate to catch me.
Nice.
But the point stands. It would be an open look that someone a little faster than me could potentially take advantage of.
Think Sam would get pinned?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Sam would get pinned. Yeah, yeah. Me too. Me too, or I just missed the layup.
Let's get to the phones. If you want to call in, 888-957-9570. Let's go to Cindy from San Lorenzo on line one. Cindy, how's it going?
Pretty good. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say a few things. I hope that Katie's listening. That, you know, it's part of, I think, that the unhappiness that comes from other people that want to see Katie go. And I think the media has a lot to do with that. I think that, you know, it angers me that, you know, a guy that they know is sensitive, they keep pushing his button. And, you know, give the guy a fair chance. It's his life. It's his decision what he wants to do. But he should know that the people that I speak to that are big Warrior fans, as well as myself, we love what KD's brought to the team because it's made the NBA better. I remember watching games years ago and it was so slow and lethargic and things like that. We've got speed and we've got transition basketball and we got all kinds of things that's going on that make basketball exciting today. Teams are getting better. Players are becoming more than a one-way player. It is just exciting to see. And I think, if anything, why doesn't the media sit down and ask KD what his goals are? He's achieved this, this, and this, and this. Why don't you sit down and ask him that? You know, give the guy a chance. It's his life. He's made the team better. I'm sad that when he came here that so many people villainized him, and now the media continues to villainize him. Why would he want to stay here if there's so much negativity thrown at him all the time?
Thank you,
Cindy. Give the guy a chance. He's been great for the team.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.